Elissa Walker-Campbell, the show is rolling right along, and let's get back to some NFL news and notes and get a season preview on the Oakland Raiders since the preseason, it has now wrapped up. A team that struggled mightily in 2013, finished with a 4-12 record. Coming into this year, we're not anticipating that the Raiders will be competing with Denver at the top of the AFC West, but optimistic they will be better, they will be improved. It's a pleasure to welcome in this evening to the Quicken Loans studios on this Friday night, Paul Gutierrez, who covers with ESPN a number of teams in the NFL. He's also the author of his new book, 100 Things Raider Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. Congratulations. Good evening. It's nice to have you with us, Paul.
Thank you very much for having me. My pleasure.
Well, it is hard to believe the preseason has already come and gone. And give us some of the reasonable expectations for the Raiders this year. They have a new quarterback in Matt Schaub, a rebuilt defensive line, and they have more depth. How do you view the season playing out, and perhaps will we see some significant improvement this year?
You know, what's interesting about the Raiders is, with the new regime, so to speak, ever since Al Davis passed away in 2011, this team has really hit the reset button, a reboot, so to speak. And you have a general manager in Reggie McKenzie entering his third year, a head coach in Dennis Allen entering his third year. And even the owner, Mark Davis, the son of Al Davis, he's gone on record as saying that, well, the first 2 years of this project, so to speak, were kind of a deconstruction of the Raiders. Now they're entering the second phase, which now we're in year one of the reconstruction. So what you're seeing is they've gone out and they've acquired a lot of veterans with success, guys like Justin Tuck, guys like Lamar Woodley, James Jones, who bring not only winning pedigrees, but evidence of that with Super Bowl rings, too, to show these younger guys the draft picks that they picked up. This is at the end game. This is how you win a Super Bowl. This is what you get when you buy in, when you sell out, when you do things like that. And then it's also showing the veterans, the guys that have been on the Raiders for a while, guys like Marcel Reese, Darren McFadden, that, you know, they may have been playing in the darkness for a lot of years, but there is light at the end of that tunnel. So I think they have improved that roster, but the schedule this year, honestly, is so brutal, it's so tough. I'm not so sure that it's going to translate into more victories. I think they will be a better team, but I'm not so sure that they're going to be able to improve significantly upon the past two 4-12 seasons, which would be a little discouraging for a coach that needs to win to show that he deserves to stick around with the Raiders.
Paul, you talk about the reconstruction process, and I'm glad you bring up the fact that the Raiders, they brought in so many veteran players that have, in fact, of course, been a part of championship teams. What is the timeline do you anticipate that they will be able to right the ship?
Well, I think what Mark Davis, he's as he's told me himself, he's a patient man, but he's also, he wants to see some results. He wants this team to compete. Now, he said himself he doesn't expect the team to be in the running for a Super Bowl, but he expects them to be competitive. He wants to see, to get into the playoffs, because once you get into the playoffs, it's a grab bag. You're not sure exactly what's going to happen. Anybody can win on any given Sunday, especially in a watered-down NFL. So I think what they're realistically looking at is making some improvements this year, possibly gaining a wild card spot. And like you said at the top, I don't think anybody's expecting them to compete with Denver in the division. But if they can build some continuity and some confidence, I think you're looking at maybe another year or two away before they let the homegrown talent. Because that's something else, that when Reggie McKenzie came in, he had to deal with what he termed salary cap hell and out-of-whack contracts, and just get the financial books in order so that they could go forward. Now, the flip side of that coin is, sure, you have all this money now that you can spend, but what makes you an alluring target for a free agent that's out there in his prime? As opposed to, and this isn't taking a shot at the Justin Tucks, the Lamar Woodleys, but they're on the other side of 30. What's going to make you an alluring target for a guy that's in his prime to want to come and play for a situation where they need a new stadium and you're not exactly sure where they're going to be playing in 2 years anyway?
Yeah. Hey, we are so glad you're with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell. We are gearing up for the start of the NFL season, going one-on-one with Paul Gutierrez. He is a writer, an author, and of course his new book that is out, 100 Things Raider Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. So let's do a quick recap, Paul. To be honest with you, the preseason, it did not go well. And who are the Raider fans? Who are they pointing to, perhaps they're directing their frustrations at from the preseason?
You know, if it's not the coach, then it's the quarterback.
Uh-oh.
You know, that's the theme that goes through any
so team, true.
And in the NFL especially, the most popular guy, the guy that gets too much credit when things are going well and gets too much blame when things are going bad is the quarterback. And when they go out and, you know, they jettisoned Carson Palmer a couple of years ago after a 4,000-yard passing season for a bad team, and then they bring in Matt Flynn and he flops. They draft Wilson out of Arkansas. He flops. They bring in Matt Schaub, and it appears that Matt Schaub may not have the continuity that they need. And you look at him, he suffered through a crisis of confidence in Houston last season. But he comes to Oakland, and he comes, and there's no established number one wide receiver. They have a lot of younger guys and older guys that are no longer in their prime. So you just have to realize that he doesn't have Andre Johnson to pass the ball to. So fans are definitely zeroing in on Matt Schaub. And like I said earlier, the quarterback is the most glamorous position in the game. So the most popular guy then is always going to be the backup quarterback, and that's the guy that they just drafted this year, Derek Carr from Fresno State. He already has a built-in fan base here in the Central California Valley. So a lot of people are starting to bang the drum for him, much the same way that they banged the drum last season for Terrell Pryor.
So I hear you saying, Paul, is there a quarterback controversy already taking place?
You know what? That would sell, I guess, you know, 10 years ago we could have said it. That would sell newspapers. Or maybe now we just say that would get a lot of clicks on the Internet for people to read the stories. But I wouldn't say there's a controversy yet, because for the Raiders to do that would mean that they would admit that they missed badly again on a quarterback. And I don't think they want to do that yet. I don't think, you know, Matt Schaub is definitely a different breed of quarterback, so to speak, than Matt Flynn was. He's already had the success. But you just wonder about his confidence going forward. He sat out the preseason finale, and Derek Carr got some reps. So you have to just see and let it play out. And again, I'm not so sure that Derek Carr is ready to step in. You know, the past 3 years at Fresno State, he ran a spread offense. He's still relearning how to run a pro-style offense by getting set up under center. So quarterback controversy, I don't know right now, but it would not shock me if it happened early in the season.
Okay, so Raider fans, they were counting on Matt to be the guy, and he has not impressed in the preseason. He certainly had his fair share of ups and downs. But what about, I think he's been battling a little bit of a sore elbow. He's had an injury there, correct?
Correct, and that's the interesting thing. That's the parallel, the eerie parallel, really, to last year, is that it was at this exact same time last year when Matt Flynn, the anointed savior, the franchise quarterback, suffered from a sore elbow, and then he lost out to Terrell Pryor going into the season, and before the season was a quarter old, really, Matt Flynn was gone. So I don't think this is going to be the same route, but it is interesting the way that it's kind of starting out.
Paul Gutierrez is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We want to hear from you. Join us at Twitter, at @eRadioSports. So tell us some more about the backup quarterback in Derek Carr. Are you a fan of him, potentially? What he will be able to bring? I mean, it seems like he's got a lot of upside. He's dynamic. He's young. I understand he's got a high IQ. But, you know, when you bring in a rookie, it's going to take some time to acclimate.
Yeah, especially if you don't have a lot of talent around the rookie. I mean, even when you look at somebody like a John Elway and you look at how badly he struggled as a rookie, because when you get a quarterback and they're drafted fairly high, that means that there's not a lot of talent around them to begin with. So they're going to struggle initially until they build up the team around them. That's just the nature of the game. But when it comes to Derek Carr, what's interesting about him is, you know, his older brother was the number one overall pick in the draft. So when Derek was 12 years old, he was already going over with his older brother NFL game tape and things. And that's one thing that the Raider coaching staff has talked about, is just how mature he is for his years regarding NFL schemes and watching tape and video and breaking down and dissecting things. So I think he definitely has a head start that way. But the game is just going to come a lot faster. The one thing that I will say that I don't know if worries me is the right phrase here, but when he drops back in the pocket to pass, you get a sense that his internal clock is not up to speed yet with the speed of the NFL. I mean, this is not the Mountain West Conference. This is the NFL. And he stands back there, and he holds on to the ball a long time. And it reminds me a lot of an old-school guy, Dan Pastorini, who used to sit back there and pat the ball before he'd throw it. But by then, he'd get killed by some speed rusher coming off the edge. And the game is a lot faster now, especially at this level, than in where Fresno State played.
You know, Paul, I have to wonder, too, how patient and willing will the Raider fans be in terms of if it's going to be Matt or if it will be Derek? I mean, what's the timeline in terms of that?
Yeah, you know, fans are already kind of turning on Matt Schaub already. And you know, if you use Twitter as your barometer, because we all know that Twitter is very safe and sane, right? The fans are going to turn pretty quickly, especially, you know, the first time Schaub throws a pick six, you know, because he had that stretch last year where he threw it in four straight games, which is really unfortunate for him. But the first time he throws a bad interception or that, the fans, the Boo Birds are going to come out of the Oakland Coliseum. And, you know, outside of Yankee Stadium's Bronx salute, there's no uglier feeling, so to speak, in sports. So, yeah, I think the life, the preserver for Schaub is not going to be thrown to him too quickly. I think they really want to see what the kid can do, but unless they can win some games, and if he looks fine and he's a good game manager, they'll stick with Schaub.
Sports writer, author Paul Gutierrez is joining us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, and I know we're focusing a lot on the quarterback position, but I have to ask you this too. I mean, do you have the belief that Matt could perhaps return to an elite level? We saw him in 2012 with the Texans. I mean, and when they made that postseason run, I mean, is he still an elite quarterback, or does he still have that potential to be?
He believes he is, and no doubt that his head coach believes he is, and that's half of the battle, is just believing it. But again, as you saw him firsthand there in Houston, he had a lot more weapons around him. He had Andre Johnson, you know, running out there and sure-handed and catching the ball, and you know, all-pro running back back there. With the Raiders, you got a lot of guys that are just trying to find their role and trying to piece things together. I'm not sure if Matt Schaub is a franchise-type quarterback to take an entire team on his back and lead them so much as just kind of be one of the guys. And you wonder if that's really in his personality either to be that fiery leader or just to kind of be lead by example.
Okay, we're zeroing in on the Raiders. Going to get another quick hit. What about the offensive line and the assessment that the job that they've done throughout the preseason and keeping those defenders off of Matt?
Well, they have not. That's part of the problem. They haven't been able to keep the first-team defenses off of Matt Schaub. And as a result, you get somebody who's a little more mobile, a little smaller, and that's Derek Carr. And it, the same type of situation played out last year with Terrell Pryor. Because the offensive line was so banged up last year, you needed somebody behind center that had the mobility to escape, you know, to get out and to create plays. And that's what Terrell Pryor was able to do. Derek Carr has a little bit more escapability than Matt Schaub, who's more of a pure drop-back passer. So the offensive line, it is rebuilt, it's bigger, it's stronger, but it's not showing itself against the pass rush, at least not yet.
Okay, time has flown by. One more time, tell all of our listeners tonight where they can go out and get a copy of your book, 100 Things Raider Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die.
Yeah, it should be in your local bookstore, and if you want to just check out triumphpublishing.com, it's there. It was a labor of love. It's 100 short stories just trying to wrap up one of the more fascinating and intriguing franchises in not only the NFL's history, but in all of sports.
Oh, yes.
From Al Davis to the current Raiders, to the highs, the lows, the Tuck game, the Immaculate Reception. I was able to talk to a lot of different guys to get their spin on things and to tell it through their eyes and through their voices.
Well, it is a wonderful walk down memory lane. Talking about the Raiders, Paul Gutierrez has joined us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Paul, you're a fabulous guest, and we look forward to having you back on with us right here at Yahoo Sports Radio.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Absolutely. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead this evening. Join us at Twitter, @ERadioSports. We will be right back.